in research done by Darley and Batson. In 1973, at Princeton University, a group of theology students was told that they were to go across campus to deliver a sermon that they had prepared on the Good Samaritan. As part of the research, some of the students were told that they were late and needed to hurry up. Well, along their route across campus, Darley and Batson had hired an actor. They hired an actor to play the part of a victim who was coughing and suffering incredibly. 90% of the late students of Princeton Theological Seminary ignored the need of that suffering person in their haste to get across campus to bring a message on the Good Samaritan. The report concluded, indeed, on several occasions, a seminary student going to give his talk on the parable of the Good Samaritan literally stepped over the victim as he hurried away to bring his message on the Good Samaritan. Well, so much for the adage, practice what you preach. Today I want to continue a 4-week message series entitled Earthly Stories, Heavenly Meanings. We have been looking at some of the most profound of all of the parables of Jesus. In doing so, we've done two things. Number one, we have discovered exactly what Jesus Christ was communicating through his parable. And number two, we were able to apply the teaching to our own personal lives. So today, let's look at the topic, guest relations, one of the most beloved of all the parables of Jesus, the parable of the Good Samaritan from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Let's go on to point number one. Because when you have guest relations, you have frequently asked questions. And here is the question. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested Jesus and said, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? And what is your reading of it?" And the lawyer answered, and he said, "You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and all of your mind. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And then Jesus said to him, "You have answered correctly or rightly. Do this, and you shall live." Now in this scene, the one who has credentials, the Jewish lawyer, approaches Jesus. He has a great knowledge of the Old Testament, this attorney does, and he tests the credentials of Jesus. He has heard a report about this one who reportedly has been sent by God. So as a lawyer, he utilizes his professional skills to put Jesus to the test. He proceeds to ask Jesus this leading question, the question we find in verse 25, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Well, Jesus Christ, who is God's Son, knows everything because he's God in the flesh. He knew all about this encounter. So Jesus Christ decided that he would have some fun and answer the lawyer's question with a question. And here is Jesus' question to the lawyer. "What is written in the law?" And then Jesus asks, "What is your reading of it?" In other words, Jesus asks, "What's the answer to my question, or to your question? And what is your interpretation of your answer to the question?" Well, the lawyer proceeded by quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Because this Jewish lawyer knows a lot about the Old Testament. He quoted Deuteronomy 6, 5, "You shall love the Lord God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength." So in verse 28, Jesus confirms that his response is absolutely correct. But a correct answer does not necessarily mean that the lawyer gets it. And simply because we can quote that verse by memory doesn't mean that you and I get it. So that leads Jesus to the second point, bad experiences. You see, in these verses here, Jesus will teach you and me, as well as this lawyer, a great lesson through the parable of the Good Samaritan. Let's look at these bad experiences. And he, wanting to justify himself, that is the lawyer, said to Jesus, here's another question. Jesus, who is my neighbor? Would you please define for me who my neighbor is? Well, Jesus Christ put him on the defensive. So the lawyer, wanting to make himself look good, asked this question. And Jesus answered it. Look at the text. Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, just by chance, a certain priest came down the road. And when he saw him, he passed by the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. Remember, Jesus challenges this man with a parable, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. But be careful, because parables are not meant to be read literally. Now, Jesus mentions that there's this road from Jerusalem to Jericho. Why does he use that road? Because it has a very notorious reputation. It was some of the most dangerous 17 miles of stretch that could be found anywhere in the country. And that 17-mile stretch there, the path curved through rugged, rocky, bleak terrain. The landscape provided an excellent hideout for robbers. Whether it was day or night, travel on this road from Jerusalem to Jericho was extremely dangerous. As a matter of fact, a person in his right mind would not walk the road alone. He would only walk with other people. However, sometimes even that did not protect people from these robbers who would hide and rob these people as they were traveling down this path. So now we can understand why Jesus Christ mentions this road in this parable. It is a perilous road with a notorious reputation. So he goes on to tell the story. There was this guy, man, he just wasn't thinking, walking down that road all by himself. And sure enough, there were these thieves that were hidden behind the rocks. And as soon as this guy came by, they thumped him. I mean, they took him to the ground and they started beating him up. And they started beating him in the face and kicking him. And the next thing you know, he was a mass of blood. They took all of his money, they took his valuables, and they took off and left this man half dead. And then Jesus proceeded to tell the story. The first person that happened to come across this injured person was a Jewish priest. He was the most religious person of that day. As a matter of fact, he could quote Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, "You shall love the Lord God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your might." That Jewish priest knew that verse by memory. So how did he put into practice what he knew? As soon as he saw that half-dead man lying there on that road, he passed by him on the other side. He didn't want to get involved. He didn't want to be a part of something. Perhaps he would get in trouble. We don't know. All we know is that compassionless priest, who represents a religious person, walked right past him. Not to be outdone, there was another religious guy on the road. He happened upon the crime scene. It was a parable. It was not a literal story. It's a parable. And this man was a Levite, a religious person also. Interesting that Jesus incorporates religious people in this scene. This religious person who was a Levite was one who assisted in the maintenance of the temple services and order. Certainly this dude would help. I mean, after all, he knows by memory, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, you shall love the Lord God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. So how did this Levite put into practice what he knew and believed? The Bible says that when he arrived at the place, he came and he looked at the man. He backed away and he passed by the other side. Religious person. You see, these two men were symbols of the most religious persons of that day, yet they didn't get involved. They really didn't care. Reminds me of what happened on March the 13th, 1964, in Queens, New York. It was 3 a.m. in the morning, and Kitty Genovese, age 28, had just gotten off of work. She stepped out of a red Fiat to walk the 100-foot distance to her apartment building. Suddenly out of the darkness, a man overtook and grabbed her. She screamed. Residents of the apartment building turned on their lights and threw open their windows. This woman screamed. Why did she scream? Because this attacker was stabbing her. A man leaning out the window shouted, "Let that girl alone!" And suddenly the attacker walked away. The apartment lights went out and the window slammed shut. The victim, Kitty, staggered toward her apartment, but the attacker soon returned and once again began attacking her and stabbing her repeatedly. She cried out, "I'm dying, I'm dying!" But no one called the police. No one came to her aid. No one did anything. Too indifferent, too frightened, too self-absorbed to get involved in helping a fellow human being in dire trouble. Detectives investigating Kitty Genovese's murder discovered that no fewer than 38 of her neighbors had witnessed at least one of these attacks. Yet none came to her aid, and none called the police. This attacker came back for the third time to make sure that Kitty was dead. It was not until 3:30 a.m. that a neighbor had the courage to call the police. 38 people, but nobody cared. A modern story of an ancient parable. Well, let's go on to point number three. It's called meeting needs. And Jesus has a profound lesson for you and me in regard to this text today. Let's read the verses here. But the Bible says, "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on him oil and wine, and set him on his own animal, brought him to the inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took 2 days' wages, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come, I will repay you.'" Now, here's the story. Two very religious persons passed by this seriously injured person with only a casual glance as they walk by. But now this parable takes an incredible twist. A Samaritan passes by. Now, just what is a Samaritan? Well, you know as well as I do, perhaps, that Jews and Samaritans hated each other. There was a lot of racial hatred of Jews toward Samaritans. It all began back in 722 BC when the Assyrian Empire invaded Israel and conquered the land. The Assyrians took all of the populace of Israel and deported them and put them in exile. And the only people that they left were some of the poor of the land that they did not even want to fool with. So the only people left in the land of Israel were the very poorest of the Jews. But then at the same time, the Assyrian Empire began to repopulate Israel with Assyrians, with Gentiles. They wanted to make sure that they seized control of that country, so they took all of the good population out, left the poor people, and then they brought in their population and repopulated Israel. So you have the Gentiles who were secular and the Jews who were religious. They lived among each other. They did business among each other. Well, obviously, because of guys like girls and girls like guys, they started getting hitched. Jews and Gentiles. What were they called? Samaritans. Jews didn't call them Samaritans. They hated them so much they were nothing but half-breeds. So where there was this great racial hatred of Jewish people toward the Samaritans. So Jesus once again goes against the conventional thinking of his day. He paints a negative picture of the religious people and a positive picture of the half-breed. Now, the Samaritan did not just glance at the wounds of this critically injured man and walk by. Rather, he immediately jumped into action. What did he do? First of all, he went to it. Number two, he treated his wounds. Number three, he mounted this seriously injured man on his own donkey. The next thing he did is he took him to an inn. He put him up. He took care of him overnight and made sure that he had money for a couple of days so that he would heal up. And then he said to the innkeeper, he said, whenever I get back from my trip, whatever is left on the bill, he said, I will pay for it. So Jesus climaxes this parable with a profound question. And it deals, number four, with our mission. This is how it applies to us. So Jesus said, which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And the lawyer said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. You see, it was a very difficult question for this Jewish lawyer. From his perspective, the Jewish priest and the Jewish Levite, they were the good people, and the Samaritan was the evil one. Yet in this parable, the Jewish priest and the Levite are the bad ones, and the Samaritan was the good one. Jesus was one who would really confront the conventional thinking of that day. Now notice the response of the Jewish lawyer. He apparently could not use the word Samaritan. Did you see that? Did you see? He said, he who shows mercy on him. He didn't say the Samaritan that showed mercy on him. Why? Because he, like every other Jew, hated the Samaritans. There was a racial hatred. So clearly the Jewish lawyer saw that the Samaritan had become a neighbor to the seriously injured traveler. And then notice next, Jesus' very brief command. Not a lengthy sermon. Not a long discourse. Jesus gets right to the point, and here it is for you and for me. Go and do likewise. Four words, two commands. Go and do. So you say, Mike, how can I? How can I be a good Samaritan? How can I apply this lesson, this message, this parable to my life? How in this world can I be a good Samaritan? Well, I'm glad you asked. First of all, you must have a personal relationship with Christ. It's not just enough to be religious, as we have found out in this study. In this parable, the religious people passed Jesus, passed this seriously injured man by. It's not enough to be religious. It's not enough to have all the head knowledge. Next, be prayerful. Look around you and be aware of a person in need. That is, be aware of what's happening around you and somebody that might really be in need. Next, make a commitment to get involved. But notice what I've added up here. Exercise discernment. Be careful when you're contemplating being a good Samaritan. because sometimes you could get hurt or ripped off. As a matter of fact, there was an article in the newspaper titled, Being a Good Samaritan Doesn't Always Pay. An elderly woman found the cost of being a good Samaritan doesn't always pay. This 72-year-old woman heard a knock on her door at 8 o'clock at night. A young lady asked if she could use the older woman's phone. She explained that she was pregnant and that she needed to get some help because her car had broken down. And she said, man, I've also needed to go to the restroom, you know, being expecting a baby, pushing on the bladder, da-da-da-da-da. So I really need a restroom break, too. So that elderly woman said, that's fine. You may use my phone back there in the house, and you may use my toilet. Well, after the pregnant woman left, the resident discovered that her purse and her cell phone had been stolen. Now, she called the police, and her description to the police of the suspect was rather biased and biting. She said to the police, this thief was, number one, European, number two, dirty, number three, rail thin, and number four, had dirty, blondish hair. That woman was mad. I'd have been too. But what that goes to show you is you need to exercise caution if you feel that you should be a good Samaritan. Next, be willing to make a sacrifice. Of what? Time, effort, and money. That's exactly what the Good Samaritan did in this parable. He stopped. He gave of his time. He gave of his effort to get this man on his feet, to get this man on a donkey, and to get him into town and get him lodged and bedded in a hotel room in an inn. And it also took money because he paid that man's lodging for several nights and paid for whatever other expenses that man would have. And then he said, when I come back, if there's still a bill, I'll pay for it too. So you see, when you're a good Samaritan, you must be willing to make a sacrifice. Next, demonstrate God's love through your action. Demonstrate God's love through your action. And then finally, use the opportunity to be a silent or a spoken witness to those you assist. So who is your neighbor? Jesus asked the lawyer. The lawyer asked Jesus. Who is your neighbor? Jesus gave us the answer. Through this parable, Jesus reminds us that it's not just enough to be able to quote Bible verses. It's not enough to say, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. It's not just enough to have it up in your brain, but you also need to appropriate it in your personal life. So be a good Samaritan. Look around you during the week, find someone you can encourage, someone you can help, someone you can minister to, someone you can be a witness to, and who knows but their lives will be impacted for the kingdom of God. Several weeks ago, my wife and middle daughter and I were on our way to Leadville. It's not washed away yet, and I hope it won't be, but anyhow, we were going there for a basketball game. Our youngest daughter was going to play for CSCS, and they were going to play the Lake County girls basketball team. They called the gym there the highest court in the land, making a reference to, of course, the Supreme Court. They say theirs is the Supreme Court because it's the highest court in elevation anywhere in America. Well, we're driving down the road, and it's absolutely beautiful with the snow-capped mountains. So we decide, let's pull off the road, and Kathy, you can take some pictures. So I pulled off the road, and as soon as I pulled off the road, I went, uh-oh! Because what looked like smooth pavement just covered with a light layer of snow was not pavement at all. It was the side of the road, and my car went down in the ditch. Fortunately, there were some good Samaritans behind us. And several passed, first of all, by the way. Didn't stop even to see if we had any need. But then there came a van by. Three people in that van, they came out, and we pushed. No, I wasn't behind the wheel of the car. My wife was. She wasn't pushing. Although that would have been a good idea. We pushed and we got the car out and got my daughter to that game just on time. You know what? It doesn't matter whether it's a big deal or a small deal. Whether it's a man laying at the side of the road halfway dead or a car off the side of the road, God can use us to be a witness to impact the lives of people for His kingdom's work. So let's do it. Let's be good Samaritans. Let's follow and practice the parable of Jesus. Let's pray.